Thank you, first off, and Mike, what an eloquent introduction. There's a line from a movie, Anchorman, that says he's kind of a big deal and everybody knows his name. Yeah, they weren't talking about me. Okay, so that was the Anchorman. First off, appreciate you inviting us and appreciate being here amongst really some tremendous scholars. And what we've heard so far has been awesome. I'm not sure that what we're going to discuss next will be in line with some of the things that you've said. You'll have to make up your own mind. It's interesting to me how the unity of the Spirit actually does come together and things do come together, and you might see that in some of the things I'm going to talk about. But I have one quick announcement, and that is the book that Kathleen wrote. She brought enough copies to appease some of the individuals that had pre-ordered them. But if you still want to order them, you just have to put your name and address down, and we'll get them off to you when we get back. So know that. Make sure you fill out the form properly. And let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful again that we are here. Grateful that you have blessed us with this incredible truth. And as the speakers that have gone before have pointed out, it's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome opportunity. And we've been chosen to understand, to know, to see, to have Christ appear to us in a way that many people, it's been hidden from them. Whether it be either by ignorance or whether it be by the Lord covering or by they willingly decide, I just don't want to look. And I think that we find a lot of people like that. This is not an easy road to hope. This is a path that is difficult and is under attack by Satan at all times because he does not want this truth to happen. He does not want this conference to happen. He does not want people here to see the things that would continue to move forth the plan and purpose of God. And he's there to disrupt it, to subvert it. And we may be the soldiers, the warriors, the combatants that stand in the way of that. And Lord, we are grateful for that honor and for that privilege. And so give us wisdom now and open our eyes to understanding that we might know you better. And that these speakers throughout the day and tomorrow will continue to guide us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, when Mike called me and said, look, Cottrell. Actually, he said Contrell. He still doesn't know. He doesn't know my name, and he doesn't know where I live. What's so hard about Anaheim? All right? That's where Disneyland is, Mike's favorite place. And when he came out for our conference last year, he had those ears on the entire time. A t-shirt with Minnie on it. I don't know why, but it was... Gosh, it was somewhat embarrassing at times, and that's why I decided to write and talk about this subject. But he said, I want you to confine yourself to 7 books. I want you to make sure that you can stay within those borders. Are you able to do that, Contrell? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. So I was thrilled when the seed guy got up. And, I mean, I don't have a kernel of truth compared to what he gave me. I don't know that I can sow seeds amongst you that will help you better understand. Okay, those jokes were better than his, all right? Get that, all right? Okay. So put your track shoes on because we're going to run a while. After lunch, everybody's a little tired. The pace that I'm going to keep, you know what, if you start to doze off, you're going to miss it. Someone's going to run right up your back, and you're going to have those little spike marks all on the back of your back. People are going to go, what happened to you? Well, I fell asleep during lunch time. And how's that going to make you feel? So I think what you're going to see, because most of the verses I'm going to use have already been used. That's the problem with going, you know, later in the day. I think there's 3 verses left that haven't been touched on. However, there are enough here that even though we've read these, and I think that Gary was outstanding in the deep dive that he did. Jason, absolutely the best I've heard you, and I haven't heard you often, but the best I've heard you, and the slides you used, look at the template. Talk about like-minded, huh? Right? Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling me and saying, hey, use this one. It's number 274 of the 17,000 templates available. So I can't even cover the same subject, but he's got the same templates, okay? So, but because the two of them have deep-dived into these verses, I don't have to go through much Greek. All right, not much that I know anyway, but it's good because we can therefore run through some of these verses to hopefully bring home the point that I hope I can bring home the point. And Barney touched on a few of the verses as well, and Ronnie yesterday. So I think you're going to see a lot of things kind of come together, and maybe something that you have to think about. Now, I already warned the people in the front row that I have pictures here, and if you feel bad about the pictures, all right, I didn't write this about you specifically, guys, okay? So don't feel bad, all right? There's one in particular that you might recognize.
Oh, man.
You know how the internet is. You cannot post stuff on the internet. You can't run from it. Okay. So everybody knows this verse. We can all recite it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We all know that. All right, there's one word there that has not been touched on so far today, and that's the word ashamed. And so that's what I want to talk about. And so ashamed means to be shamed. It means to be long in the face. That's why I did it red. I mean, people are kind of red-faced when they're embarrassed or ashamed. And so what would cause us to be ashamed? What things have you done in your life that you thought, shame on me? Or somebody else has done, you know, this kind of thing. And your mom made that noise, you know. I didn't know if it was a chipmunk impersonation or she just had something stuck in her teeth. But, you know, what could we do today that would cause us to be ashamed? I mean, really ashamed. Really, really hide your head in your hands and be ashamed. Or can we be ashamed? Is there anything that could cause us to be ashamed? And so that's what I want to kind of explore. Now, here's where maybe some people would recognize because of the white hair. What did this poor guy do wrong? Did he drink a Pepsi instead of a Coke? You know, you've heard that commercial, right? You've seen the commercial? Okay, all right, so just want to know. But even pets know when they've been bad, right? Haven't you seen your pet just cower? You come home and they're like, all right, what'd you do? I chewed up your best socks and shoes. And you're going to have to find them because I hid them under the bed where I was gnawing on them. They were awesome. And I'm a little embarrassed because I don't think you're going to be able to wear them any longer. So regardless of our past, should we be ashamed? I don't believe so because I think we have an advocate. And I mean, if you were ever to say, praise God, amen.
Amen.
That's the time.
Amen.
And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, and again, because we're going to run through this quickly, I tried to put all of the scripture that I'm going to use on the slide so that you can capture it. If you forget the word or forget the verse that I use, you can just look for the screen. And this is a King James Version. I haven't used anything else. If you want a copy of this study, just leave me your email address and I'll forward it to you. I've got a notepad over here. I'll write your name down. And you can collect all these. So, you know, right now what I'd like you to do is just, you know, focus on the screen, run with me, and if you want to look things up, you can. But in 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 13, when you get to verse 12, that's where the meat of this is. It says, For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. That's it. That's it. There's no reason for us to ever be ashamed. But some people are ashamed for Christ, for the cause, for the way, for the path. And so they have not stood up for the truth and for this gospel. He says, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. What did he commit? He committed us. Others have probably felt shame in this life. So will we too. I'm sure everybody's been embarrassed with something. I know I have. You know, even since I've been a Christian, I'm sometimes embarrassed of the words I've used, the tone I've used in talking to kids. When I was coaching one of the kids' soccer games when they were 6, 7 years old, I had told the parents in a pre-meeting that, you know, I have a loud voice, I can cover the whole field, and so I'm going to reach out to your child with my voice, and I'm going to say, move your feet. And I told them that if you don't move your feet, it's like having your feet in concrete, and you're just like a post. Don't be a post. And so if I yell out, don't be a post, your kid, don't take offense. Well, one mom didn't show up at the parent meeting. And so in the very first game, when I yelled out, Johnny, move your feet, don't be a post, she got all upset and wanted to have me removed from the coaching staff because I called her kid stupid. I don't know about his intelligence. I'm pretty sure about his mom's. Just by the evidence that I saw. I think I made that comment to someone, and I'm embarrassed for having said that. I'm sure she's highly intelligent, just ask her. So, when and where does the concept of ashamed enter? When did that even come about? Why do some people, you know, live in this shadow of whatever it is that they're afraid of, that they're ashamed of? Well, it starts in Genesis 2, verses 23 through 25. It says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So, in the beginning, man's not ashamed. Women aren't ashamed. They're naked, not ashamed. If I were standing up here naked right now, I know it's not an image you want to think about, but if I were, I would be ashamed, alright? And you would be embarrassed for me, I'm sure. So, Adam and Eve became ashamed. Why? They disobeyed the Lord. And they knew it. And soon as they had the knowledge of good and evil, shame entered. Satan deceives, subverts, disobeys, shame. Sin, shame. All right? There's a pattern here. So, the word here in the Hebrew means to be disappointed, to be confounded, to delay or be long. In other words, a long face. And so, as we think about that, who are the others? Well, was Job ashamed when his wife said, curse God and die? What about Moses when he did the double tap on the rock? Think he was ashamed? When the Lord came to him and said, you know what, you're not going into the promised land. I knew I shouldn't be there twice. What about David when he was confronted by Nathan after committing adultery and murder? What about Nebuchadnezzar when he was walking around on his knees eating grass? What about Haman? This was pretty humiliating. Having to walk somebody else around, parade them around in royal apparel that he dreamed he would be wearing, and instead his arch enemy is the one that gets the honor. But if you think that was humiliating and embarrassing and he was ashamed for that, what do you think he felt after this? Because that's what the end was for him. What about the woman caught in adultery? who the Lord said, "Where's your accusers?" And she said, "They've all gone." And he said, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." Do you think she felt a little bit of shame at that moment? Why? It followed sin. It followed not believing, not following the rules and the law. What about Paul? Paul stood holding the coats of those who threw stones at one of the disciples of the Lord who was proclaiming the kingdom again and proclaiming what God had promised us. And then he's stymied by this bright light as he's on the road to Damascus, and he's on his back, and the Lord says, "Don't kick against the pricks." You think Paul probably felt just a little embarrassed at that point in time? Especially when he was then blinded and he had to be led around by somebody else.
Amen.
This is a guy who had, you know, all of the papers necessary to go anywhere and bring back those of the persuasion of the way of Christ, the Christians, and be able to throw them in prison even unto death. We are attacked all the time. Attack, attack, attack from every side. In Psalms 25, 2 and 3, it says, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Those who are making the attacks, those are the ones that should be ashamed. And Jeremiah says, "As a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets." Why? They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They were not a holy priesthood, as was pointed out earlier today. They did not carry out God's will. They carried out their own will for their own purpose, for their own exaltation. In Mark it says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." If we are ashamed of the Lord, if we are ashamed to be called Christians, if we are ashamed to be called the church and body of Christ, if we are ashamed to say, "I believe something different than most of Christendom," and if we don't stand up and be countered for that, we're going to be ashamed. There's a lot of untruth out there. Look at the political scene. I've never seen so much untruth in all of the elections, and I've seen a lot. Was there for Nixon? Was there for the first Clinton? You know, I don't understand how people can't see when the evidence is there. And so I believe that we will be ashamed for not knowing and or telling the truth, which is what Jason's message was earlier today. In Romans it says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, to the Greek." We know this is not our dispensation, because the Jew was still first. The Gentiles were being grafted in. Fortunate for us, we were being grafted in. If that's where it would have ended, that would have been fine, because we would have been grafted into their hope. At least we would have had a hope. But we who were chosen before the foundation, that message that was hid in God since the foundation, that truth that we know, there is no Jew or Greek any longer. There's a new creation. In Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing the tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and the hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." this word, not ashamed, not dishonored, not disgraced. We have people in the media all the time who are being disgraced. We know what that looks like. You just hope that your name isn't up there in light someday. In Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." 1 Corinthians 11, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church." Why do they want the least esteemed? You know, we get our laws today from this. You know, it's a jury of your peers. It's not some highfalutin high priest or somebody else that's in a high place. It is us, the common people. "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers." I realize again that this was written to a different dispensation. But there's a lot of times when there's conflict between members of the body of Christ, and we separate ourselves from them. And that shouldn't be the case unless, of course, they're teaching untruth. And when they are, it's our job to confront them. It's our job to show them where they have made an error. 2 Corinthians again. "Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye shall be ashamed in the same confident boasting." Paul had bragged on the Corinthians because they were giving to the saints that were in Jerusalem. And he was bragging about how they had done so bountifully. And so now he's writing them saying, "Hey, just want you to know, heads up, coming back. Going to pick up that booty and we're going to take it back to Jerusalem. Be prepared. Don't embarrass me. Don't shame me because I've been boasting on you." Now, how many of you have children that went out and did something, maybe in sports, and they had an error, did something wrong, lost the game, and it's just like, "Isn't that your son?" "Yes." "My son?" "No, it's her son." First Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 18. "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf." Isn't that what Stephen did? And they stoned him for it. He glorified Christ as the Son of God, as God, come in the flesh, that was written about by all the prophets, starting with Moses, all the way through. He said, "This is the guy, this is the one, and you killed him." That should have been on their shame. Instead, pointing fingers, they decide, "Well, we're going to get rid of you because we don't want anybody else telling us that we made a mistake." Unfortunately, that's one of the problems with individuals that are so perfect. Can't make mistakes. I am not. I recognize I'm not. I'm sorry. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. It took me 36 years of counseling to come to that. S word. Okay, I'm good now. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed." In nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing. But that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Is Christ magnified by your life? We heard about the walk earlier today. Is that walk magnifying you or him? The word here, to be ashamed, to feel shame, it was a disfigurement of the face. And I don't know if you've seen those pictures I showed of the animals. You know, every one of them, you know, was trying to hide their face. Why do we do that? It's because it's disfigured. It's because most people, when they're lying or deceiving or doing something wrong, they are easily, their body language gives them away. Very, very easily. Just like some of you, body language right now who are sleeping, gives you away when you wake up and are embarrassed as you fall out of your chair. Ephesians chapter 5. This is long, I'm sorry. It's kind of small on the screen. Let no man deceive you with vain words, or because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Underline that. Reprove them. You know what reprove means? It means rebuke. You know what rebuke means? It means warn. If you have a child who's out in the middle of the street and there's a semi coming, rebuke them. Reprove them. Correct them. Warn them. Otherwise, thump thump, that's on you. You haven't taught them the right way. You must teach them because it's unto life. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. I just mentioned that, didn't I? And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly. Thank you for deep diving into that. I don't need to. Not as fools, but as wise. And here's the key point. Redeeming the time. Why? The days are evil. Amen. It was as true then as it is today. It is as true today as it was then. Are we any worse than they were? Probably not. Are they any worse than we are? Probably not. We just have ways of destroying each other even faster. I mean, we don't even have to be there in person. And we can take somebody out through the internet. The word here for shame, it is to be indecorum. Anybody know what that means? Indecorum? We got all these Greek scholars, but we don't have anybody that's got a Webster's dictionary. That's Latin.
not nice being or looking. You're not.
It has to. We get the word decorate from this decorum, okay? But it has to do with not looking right, okay? As someone in flight, someone who is running, someone who is ashamed, okay? So that's my interpretation. Philippians chapter 3. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Who are they? Who are they? Who are the enemies of the cross of Christ that Paul is weeping about? Are they believers or unbelievers?
Unbelievers.
Are they those who were invited into the body and chose something different? Who turned back to their old ways? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There's some things that we can be ashamed of. There's some things that we shouldn't be ashamed of. And there's things where all of our shame should be taken away. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, of the good news. This good news that we have is even better news, because our hope is a different hope. And there's a lot of people who cannot see the difference, and they can't see the difference. Why? Because they don't know how to rightly divide. And when you don't rightly divide, you start putting things like 1 and 2 Thessalonians after 1 and 2 Timothy. You start putting Revelation after Ephesians. And in reality, based on the timeline and the chronology of what, in which it was written, they're going to be all messed up. When you do not understand the chronicle order of the New Testament, you really put yourself at risk in those that you are teaching, because you're not going to teach them truth for today. You're going to teach them from a different dispensation that was a different hope than for us. And so he says in 2 Timothy 1:9, "Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Are you one of those? Are you a teacher, an apostle, or a teacher, or a preacher? "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto you against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words." We saw that earlier, the form of sound words. What were the sound words that Paul was giving at that time? Why is it so important to listen to Paul's message as opposed to any of the other apostles? He had a new revelation.
He had the mystery.
He knew the mystery. I believe that when you look at sound words, and when you look at the other use of the word sound, it's in connection with sound doctrine. Paul talked about sound doctrine. He committed that to Timothy. Follow this doctrine that I have given you. Not the past doctrine, not the old things, but this that I've given you. Hold fast the form of sound which thou hast heard of me in faith and love in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:14. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers." This may be the biggest issue that people will face that are, quote, Christians, and they have been part of subverting others. Subverting, what does that mean? Undercut. Sub. Yes, sir.
It's
an overthrow word.
It's actually that word is catastrophic.
Casting down?
It's turning over.
Turning over?
It's actually, it's put as subverting. It's catastrophic. It's sometimes called a sometimes it can be used to overthrow and confirm. But that's one of the words I don't want to get to. It's a perfect.
Okay, good. See how like-minded we are?
That's where we get the English word catastrophe.
Now, catastrophe?
If there's a holy place in the New Testament, that's one.
Okay. So when you hear about an overthrow of a government, it's usually by subversion. It's usually by somebody who rebels and turns over the point you've made. And it changes the view of the hearers. And we see that happen all the time. There is all kinds of propaganda that subverts the real truth. And we don't really know what we should believe. But I believe there are those who have subverted those who have been like-minded with us, that over time have thought, well, this must be a new truth. This must be even better than what we've been hearing. gosh, this, let's just take it to a different level. Instead of being seven books for us today, there's only two books for us today, and we should throw this out and this out and this out and this out. You know, just because there's seven books that Paul wrote to us after Acts 28 doesn't mean that we throw out anything. It just means that we have to make sure where it fits so we aren't saying something from a different dispensation. No different than our laws today are different than those of our founding fathers. We've got quite a few more than they had back then. No different than the Jews who, you know, started out with Ten Commandments and you know, suddenly had 630 or thereabouts. So as man becomes more and more, quote, civilized, we need more and more law and order to take their freedoms away. And if you don't think our freedoms have been taken away, trust me, after 9/11, I cannot freely get on a plane carrying a bottle of water. Really? Really? Okay. So I decided to pour water in my shoes and then float.
I'm drinking through your face.
That's right. So the point that I want to make here is this last portion of this verse. They strive about words to no profit. They are making cases for things based on one verse or two verses that are taken from different dispensations that have a total different meaning, and they're trying to make a whole new doctrine about it and say that they're rightly divided, and they're not. And so in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says we've got to be rightly divided. And here's something from 1 Timothy that goes right along with this, and we've already heard it, the verse used more than once. 1 Timothy 3:3 through 7 is, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. These are the people that are striving. These are the people that are subverting, which minister questions. Is that what God said? Remember that question? Did God really say, couldn't eat, lest you die? Did he really say that? Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. There are people out there that are subverting. They think they have this understanding. They think that they have this brain power that is greater than what's in this room right here. Maybe because they have some two or three letters before their name or after their name. And when they lose sight of who they are in Christ and suddenly think it's about me, that's when we have issues.
Amen.
It's what happened to Satan. Look how great I look. Man, oh man, who is as glorious as I am? I am a bright, shining light. Woo-hoo! 2 Timothy 2:15, which is where we started, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My question was, can we be ashamed? My question is, when would be ashamed? My question were, if we can be ashamed, for what? And are we acting ashamed of Christ? Or are we standing up for what we believe, regardless of the consequences of where we are and what we do, regardless of our profession? So, what do you think? Can we be ashamed? How many think we can be ashamed about something? Okay? About half of you? What can we be ashamed for? Not standing up for Christ. Okay, what else?
Not being bold.
What else?
Not endeavoring in the scriptures.
Not being a workman, right? Okay? Okay? Being negative? Okay? Here's my conclusion. Be diligent in the world, in the word, excuse me, to the approval or pleasure of the Lord and not our earthly pleasure. It's not about pleasing us, it's about pleasing Him. Rightly divided the word of truth, and we won't be ashamed.
Amen.
Be a workman, and we won't be ashamed. Redeem the time, and we won't be ashamed. Don't subvert the faith of others. Don't change their faith. Don't change their hope. Don't change their beliefs. If they believe in Christ and this mystery and these seven books that have been given to us for this dispensation, don't take them down a different path. And then remember, it's not about you. This is the biggest deal as far as I'm concerned. You know, there are people who I really look up to who are incredibly intelligent. And unfortunate for them that they are incredibly intelligent. And because they're incredibly intelligent, they think, well, if I'm smarter than everybody else needs to listen to me. And because everybody needs to listen to me, they start going down some path with some thought of, look what I found. Look what I discovered. I'm special. Well, they are special, but they were special before they decided to put themselves on that pedestal. Our greatest fear should be pride.
Amen.
It will take a person down faster than anything. And talk about being ashamed. It will bring you to your knees when you are before the Lord and He says, either my good and faithful servant or, shouldn't have done that double tap. You should have done what I told you to do. Well, what's He told us to do? You want to be approved? This is what I think we got to do. Ephesians 3:7-9. Barney taught us this morning. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me who am less than the least of all saints. No pride. The least of all saints is this grace given. That I should preach among the Gentiles, that's us, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Are we doing that? Are you doing that daily? Are you trying to help other people see this secret? They may be blinded to it, but are you at least trying? Because I think if we don't, if we just talk to each other and that's it, this is as far as it goes, the Lord's going to say, I gave you the internet. Why didn't you use it?
Amen.
Okay? I know that rubs some people wrong, sorry, but I think that it's a way to reach people. So, He says, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Our mission, should you accept it, is to make all men see what is the mystery.
Amen.
Be bold. Reach out. There are people out there just waiting. You don't know where you're going to meet them. I met Kathleen at a beach in Mexico. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? Certainly not her sister, because when she brought me home, she said, not in my house, you're not. You stay out there on the front porch. Boy, was I embarrassed. Talk about shame. You're just a dumb Gentile dog. And don't get sand in here either. Fortunately, she gave me 3 hugs when she came in, so she's still trying to make up for it. But don't be embarrassed about it anymore, Kelly, okay? He's forgiven you. I've forgiven you. It's okay. So, with that, let's close in a word of prayer. And got you back on time, Mike, so if you want to rant about something I said, you can get 3 minutes, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the ability to fellowship. What a beautiful, beautiful group of people that you've assembled. Misfits, as all of us are, when we are united, Lord, we are a formidable force. And we pray that we will be bold, that we will be approved, because we have done your will. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.